All right, let's do that, Jace talk. Today was quite the day in Blue Jace Land, right? I mean, not only did we get the game itself, which, of course, was yet another dagger, but Spencer Horwitz got called up. Kevin Biggio was DFA'd in what many, including myself, considered a surprise move. Alec Manoa confirmed for UCL surgery, which is maybe something we thought was possible, but confirmed today, unfortunately. So lots to discuss this evening. I guess as far as this game goes, I guess it was quick, right? At least that's a silver lining. It's not even midnight here on the East Coast, just barely. But that's certainly not something that was on my bingo card. But still, JJ Blade ambushing Chad Green on the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth. Gosh, a 2-1 loss for the Jays on a night. Chris Bassett threw 8 innings of 1-run ball. Show Ali with you on Jays Talk, like I said, on the Sportsnet Radio Network, also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. If you're still awake, you can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The people's text line is always open. You know, I've said this very often, certainly this season. We said it a little bit last year, but this year we've said this all the time. But the Jays offense consistently makes both the starters and the bullpen have to walk the tightrope. And that's obviously not sustainable. I know you guys all know this. We talk about this all the time. But tonight's game, was that idea, that thought distilled to its very core, right? To its very essence. Like, the only pitch Bassett did not throw today was what directly lost you the ball game. And again, for me, I don't know about you guys, I'm not kicking Chad Green out of the circle of trust. You know, I love the circle of trust, but you know, you still feel like he's a relatively trusted reliever. Mike and Victoria saying on the text line I see here, at least Chad Green is available for tomorrow, which, you know, he threw one pitch. It's probably true. He probably is going to pitch tomorrow, I would think. But again, I know you guys know this. This is on the bats for maybe looking as dead. Chris LaRue used the word lifeless. I think that's an apt word for, you know, as lifeless as they've looked all season long. 5 hits, 1 run, and a loss. And you know what? I was looking forward to seeing Mason Miller today, and he did not disappoint from a pure impressiveness standpoint. But good heavens, those were some terrible ABs. I mean, Mason Miller, obviously, Ben Shulman mentioned this during the game, but he was the reliever of the month, and for good reason. He converted every one of his save opportunities. He's been one of the best stories maybe in baseball this year. Certainly going to fetch the A's if they choose to trade him a fair price at the deadline. But good God, just like take a few pitches. You know, the guy throws 100+ miles an hour basically all the time. He threw what? I think 3 or 4 straight sliders to Bo. Like, just lay off a little bit, man. Man. You know, the Blue Jays offense once again getting shut down. When it's Corbin Burnes or Tyler Glasnow doing this, I think to myself, all right, look, these are guys who've won the Cy Young, right? It sucks to watch, but at least you can kind of understand it. When Hogan Harris does it, I'm not saying this to slander the guy, but as good as he may be, I actually think to myself, I have no idea how good a guy like Hogan Harris actually is, because when you think about it, he could be pretty good for all I know, but the Jays regularly make every pitcher out there look like Nolan Ryan or Sandy Koufax or like Cy Young himself. So I actually have no idea how good Hogan Harris actually is, because they do this all the time. They do this routinely, right? Last year, Hogan Harris gave up 51 runs, 50 of them earned. It's just one unearned run for him last year, but that was over 63 innings. He had an ERA of around 7 in 2023. This year, prior to this game, of course, in 14 and a third, he'd given up 7 runs, 5 earned. So certainly much better, but this good seems relatively unlikely. Before we talk about Chris Bassett, I did want to ask you guys to give me your calls and texts, certainly on whatever you want to talk about tonight, but certainly as well on all of the news I mentioned off the top that happened today. Kevin Biggio being DFA'd, Spencer Horwitz called up but not played. He will likely, I'm thinking, play tomorrow in some capacity. What are your thoughts on Biggio getting DFA'd? Was it the right move? Did you hate it? Whatever you think, give me a call. Again, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. 590-590, name and location. That is the People's Text Line, and it is always open. I see some text here. 590-590, name and location. Is there a name on this one? Yeah, Nicole in Ottawa. Speechless. Good job, bullpen. Really good job, Chad Green, is what you're saying, Nicole. Way to support a starter who won 8 innings. Whole game was boring. And to end on that is incredibly disappointing. This team is unwatchable. The offense, at least, is unwatchable. And again, I'm not kicking Chad Green out immediately, but gosh, Bassett, I thought, was great. He was phenomenal, right? He was very efficient. So again, I mean, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think he was unwatchable, but I mean, I know what you mean, Nicole. You're talking about the offense, and the offense was pretty bad. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go back to the texts in a second. Let's go to the phone. Sam in Hamilton. Sam, what's up?
Hey, what's up? First of all, the Vigia news, before I get to my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was surprised, and I guess he didn't want to get options, so that's why he was DFA'd. Personally would have DFA'd Vogel back, but it is what it is. I guess he was struggling, Biggio, and they needed to change something. Now about the outfield, I think this team, if this team is going to contend, if this front office does believe in this team still, we desperately need an outfield bat. Like, I joke that, you know, former or future Blue Jay J.J. Blade just hit a walk-off home run against the Blue Jays. I mean, he would be a good fit. I mean, like Luis Robert, like this team desperately needs an outfield bat.
Yeah, Sam, thanks for joining me on Jace Talk. I don't disagree with you. I've actually said J.J. Blade has been someone we talked about before. I know Brent Rooker DH today, but I wouldn't mind seeing them go out and get Brent Rooker. And gosh, I feel like I actually feel like I've been talking about Brent Rooker for like 2.5 years. You know what I mean? I feel like we've been talking about him for a long time. He's probably getting traded. Like I would be shocked if he did not get traded. Let's put it that way. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there was a report actually from, I know he is in Blue Jays land for good reason, persona non grata, but John Heyman actually did have the report the other day. I think it was like his take on 10 players that are most likely to be traded at the deadline. It was on the New York Post website, and he tweeted it out, and I commented it on social media because the name at the top of the list wasn't actually someone Sam mentioned. It's someone I've mentioned many times, was Luis Robert Jr., and Luis Robert back off the IL. Now, this is a guy, and I want to say it was James who tweeted this at me yesterday when I said this, and he asked, well, you know, Luis Robert gets injured a lot. You know what? That is certainly true. That is definitely true. But you know what? I still feel like, you know, I would make that deal. Like, he might be one of the few guys I would advocate the Blue Jays actually being buyers for. But I know a lot of you guys, and we could, because we've talked about this before, feel as though the Blue Jays should actually be sellers of the deadline. And again, if things continue the way they are, the Blue Jays are now what, 30-33 on the season. I mean, if they continue like this and they're still hovering below 500, not even around 500, but below 500 in a month, then I think that is what you're going to get your wish. I don't think they are going to be buyers, but if there's like one player that's actually available that I would like to see the Blue Jays move their prospects for, it'd probably be Luis Robert. But, you know, it's the farm system, as we know. It's not in a great spot. Is it worth, for one guy, for a team that might not be contending, is it worth trading, like, let's say Addison Barger and Tiedemann? Is it worth that? Or Elvis Martinez and another prospect? Is it worth that? Maybe if you were also getting Garrett Crochet, but I mean, how likely is that, right? I'm not even saying it's unlikely they don't get traded from the White Sox, but that they both get traded for what the Blue Jays have to offer. I feel like it's unlikely. I think that's kind of the problem, right? I think that's the problem with a lot of the team right now. It's, you can't really buy without dealing maybe more than what they have, right? Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Guy calling us from Maple. Guy, what's up?
Hey, guys. I was Biggio going into this year, I thought he was going to break out this year. I really liked the kid, but he had to go. But just to compare how lost this organization is, you look at Biggio's numbers. What was he batting? 200 with a 291 slugging percentage. What about George Springer? This guy here is making $26 million a year, and we feel obligated to play this guy in the middle of our lineup. This guy's cost us about 6 games with his bat, not for not getting a hit, but for moving a guy over from second to third or bringing a guy in from third with less than 2 outs. He is one of the worst hitters in baseball right now. I mean, look at his numbers. His numbers are comparable to Biggio's, yet he's batting fifth in the lineup. This guy, when he plays, he shouldn't be batting higher. Him and Kirk should be batting eighth and ninth when they're in the lineup. These guys, I don't want these guys nowhere near the middle of the lineup. But when you're in the middle of the lineup, you need guys who can make contact and drive a guy over to third with less than two outs. Maybe you got to bring IKF and put him into the six hole or the five hole, because the guys that are getting on base are your 2, 3, and 4 hitters. You can't have guys like Springer and Kirk who do nothing but ground into double plays and strike out and do absolutely nothing batting in the heart of the lineup. And that's the heart of the lineup, the guys who need to drive the guys in who are getting on base. And I find it just hypocritical that, you know, everyone pisses on Biggio for batting 200, yet the $25 million man's batting 205, and he's in the lineup every day. Yeah, he's great defensively, but he stinks offensively, and I just want to know your thoughts. Great show, guys.
Gee, thanks for the call, man. Always appreciate you calling in. As Blair says, we'll mark you down as undecided on George Springer. You know what? George Springer, there was a period of time, maybe what? Like 2 weeks ago, maybe even less than that, like 10 days ago, where I thought to myself, you know what, Springer's kind of turning it around here. He kind of feels like he's putting better swings on the bat, and kind of seemed to coincide with Springer batting like 5th, 6th, and 7th, right? There was a period of time where I think we've done it twice or three times max now, but he was batting 7th, and it was the first time he'd ever done that in his entire career. But largely, we had seen him bat 6th, and that's probably the right move, because I kind of agree with Guy. I don't think you can, at this point, afford to have Springer's bat high in the order. Like, it's, you know, maybe it is time to flip-flop IKF and Springer a little bit. Maybe Springer does need to be batting in that bottom third of the lineup. Essen not playing him at all, like actually benching him. The problem is, I'm not sure who you'd play instead of him, right? And this goes back to the roster construction, you know, because we're talking about, I mean, like his defensive prowess, which I still think is clearly there. I think you guys would agree. But out there in right field, still looks pretty good. He's throwing the body around, making some great catches. But the bat, you know, like you, usually one can make up for the other. I'm not sure any amount of success George Springer has. I laugh because it kind of makes me sad. But I'm not sure any amount of success he has in the outfield can make up for the bat that we're seeing on a regular basis now. Right? I mean, again, but like I said, it goes back to roster construction. Because, you know, the way the team is structured right now, you don't often see... you can't really see all of Springer, Varsho, Kiermaier, and Schneider out there because of, you know, four guys for three spots, obviously. But, you know, wouldn't you rather at some point see like Nathan Lucas or something? But at the same time, you can't really do that because you would need to cut another guy. Maybe that move is coming. Who knows? Like maybe for all the talk about Biggio and Vogelbach and all these different guys and who was cut. I mean, I don't know. For me personally, I'm curious what you guys think. And we're going to get to that actually right now, but I'm curious what you guys think. Is that like 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other? Like, is it an egregious move to cut Biggio over Vogelbach, or, you know, in terms of their roles, because neither of them have really produced? Personally, I say no, but, you know, maybe they both are no longer on this team at the end of the year. But yeah, I kind of agree with Geese. George Springer, the bat has not been there consistently, but the problem is, I mean, the team just doesn't have a lot of guys you call up to replace them. I see a text from Brian in Toronto. Brian says, this is on Biggio, of course. Show, giving up a guy who is defensively versatile, gets on base, bit of pop, speed, works pitchers, keeping guys like Vogelbach, Clement, ridiculous. Okay, so Brian does not think particularly highly of the Biggio trade. Pardon me, the Biggio DFA was not traded. I suppose that's still possible, but he has not obviously been traded, at least right now. I see Mike from Angus on the text line. I thought with Biggio getting DFA, they were bringing up Aurelvis Martinez. Why the hesitation with Aurelvis? I think the thing with Aurelvis, I've said this a couple times, I really think it's possible, it's more possible we see Aurelvis this season more than I certainly thought it was like 2 weeks ago, or even honestly earlier today, if I'm being completely honest. But and hey, Aurelvis Martinez, by the way, hit another home run. I think his 15th home run of the season, which leads the International League, which is honestly pretty incredible. But I think it's more, you know, even if you do DFA Biggio, you'd have to DFA another guy. Clement doesn't have the options. And again, it's probably fine if you did do that. I think we probably have seen Ernie Clement's ceiling, but I don't know. I think, you know, Aurelvis does make a fair amount of errors and mistakes defensively. And I'm not sure you want that, given that he can pretty much only play second base. He has prodigious power. So I'm not so sure we're that far away from the point of the season where the power and what it can bring outweighs any potential mistakes defensively. I'm not sure we're there yet, but I don't think we're that far. We're really not that far. But I think that is the sticking point, which is why you bring up Spencer Horwitz. And again, you can kind of get away with it because IKF can play second base if you need to. David Schneider can obviously play second base if you need to. They've been playing pretty well. And as we've seen, Vladdy can play third, which leaves an obvious hole at first base. And that's when you'd likely see someone like Spencer Horwitz. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. We're going to go to Brad in Nipigon. Brad, what's up?
Hey, show. So I work in the field as a geologist, and I love being outdoors. But today, after getting home from the forest, I was devastated. 6:30, going to dinner. As a Biggio jersey owner, you know, maybe you recognize how I call from all over. I think I called from James Bay, right. Red Lake at one point. But, dude, like, this was terrible for me. I like to think I'm a smart Blue Jays fan, and this was not a smart move by Atkins. And I guess that Biggio's biggest advocate is him. But, you know, Ross Atkins is GM, you know? Like, what are we doing here? Like, this sucks.
Hey, Brad, I feel you. I know you're there. You're not alone. Thank you for joining us on Jays Talk. I can, let me put it this way. I'm going to read you some text and you'll know that people agree with you. Okay. So Claudio in King City, Biggio move was bad because we most likely will lose him without a return. Still a useful player who served the team well for many years with limited playing time. I wish him the best. There was a text from earlier. Actually, there was no name on this text, but it said, I'm from Manitoba. So, you know, to the Manitoba texter, he or she, sir, madam, says, they let Biggio go for nothing. He may not be a star. I know that, but he is one of the only true ball players on this team. And there are a lot of texts like this. I'm going to keep going in a sec here. Here's the thing. For me, I admit I don't really think it matters all that much. Because you can kind of get what you're getting from Biggio because I think the idea is not, we're not really talking about his bat, obviously, right? We're talking about his defense, and we're talking about his eye, certainly at the plate, and we're talking about his ability to run the bases. But I mean, if that's the case, look, you can get what you're getting from Biggio from a lot of guys who are not making millions of dollars. Right. And if Biggio does get claimed by another team, they're going to pay him the salary. If he gets claimed on waivers, I think if he were to clear another team, you'd pay the difference if someone signs him to like a minimum deal, for example. Right. But if someone just claims him on waivers, and I would think he will get claimed because he's not a bad player, but it's just I kind of think his time in the majors was simply up. Right. I'm not sure. Like Biggio obviously had a great ending to the season last year. And Shai Davidi had tweeted this, for those of you who had not seen this, but Shai tweeted that Biggio hit 5 years of service time this year. He probably hit it around May, if I'm guessing correctly. So that he hit 5 years of service time meant that for him to be optioned, he would have to consent to being sent to the minors. And unless we hear differently, I would suppose the assumption is that he did not consent and thus got outrighted, right? Got DFA. And I just, you know, you could probably get the defensive metrics and the base running abilities from Ernie Clement, probably. You could probably get that same thing from, just mentioned Nathan Lucas. You could probably get that from Nathan Lucas, honestly. Like, there is absolutely a place on rosters for players like Kevin Biggio. It's just the problem with the Blue Jays is they kind of have too many of those guys. Like, if we're talking about the 25th and 26th man, which we kind of are, honestly, with Biggio and Vogelbach. Like, maybe Biggio was the 24th man and Clement was the 25th man and Vogelbach's the 26th man. Maybe that's the order, right? But I don't know. For me, personally, kind of feels like we're splitting hairs, right? Like, more texts. Let's see. Shim in Halifax. What are the Jays seeing Vogelbach? I don't mind DFAing Biggio if Vogelbach wasn't on the team. We have a DH who can't hit versus a utility guy. Kind of disrespectful to a guy who's given years to the team. Callum from Calgary. I can see why they DFA'd Biggio. Point is, I don't think this was the right time. Jay is getting in a groove with two strong wins against the Orioles. Kevin was a clubhouse guy. I think that's a good point. And with Vlad and Bo for 9 years, must have been demoralizing to kick a guy to the curb. Makes things worse given they were in the middle of one of their best stretches. I wonder how receptive the club is to Horwitz, as a side note. I think they know him, right? I think they're probably relatively receptive. But, you know what? That is a good point about his Biggio, rather, being relatively beloved in the clubhouse, right? Because from everyone I've talked to since I have been working at Sportsnet, basically, I have heard that they love him a lot. Kind of same with Espinal. And I kind of wonder if that was what stayed their hand for so long. But I don't know. It's tough. I see Jackie from Melville. I think it's a great thing for Biggio. He has the tools to be a good player and help out a team for years to come. Sad to see him go. I've always wanted to see him succeed. I hope nothing but the best for him. Hey, that's, I think it's a nice sentiment. I think what'll happen. I kind of wonder if the White Sox will claim him because, I mean, the White Sox could claim Kevin Biggio, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but he would instantly be one of their better players, and he would probably play all the time, right? So having said that, I wouldn't necessarily wish that on Kevin Biggio, given how the season has gone for the Chicago White Sox. Having said that, they actually did beat the White Sox tonight, or the Red Sox tonight, so they did actually win for the first time in a while. What I hope happens is that he gets claimed by the Astros. I think that would be so cool, right? Because they actually have a hole at first base. As we know, he can play multiple positions, and he's obviously from Houston because of his dad who played there. And his dad has a massive legacy in Houston, massive legacy in baseball overall. And I want, you know, some people might say, would that overshadow your player? But I don't know. I kind of think that would be a cool story. Like Jackie, I wish the guy all the best. I think his time in Toronto would come to an end one way or another, whether it was now or when his contract was up. I think they might have moved on from him at the deadline or in the offseason anyways. But I really don't think his career is over. It's just, you know, when the Jays are struggling as they are, you know, and again, yes, you could have easily DFA'd Vogelbach. You could have easily DFA'd Ernie Clement. But it just, again, to use the phrase I used earlier, kind of like six of one, half a dozen of the other. Honestly, also having said that, Jose Abreu, who has unfortunately been pretty terrible for the Astros this year, he actually did hit a home run tonight. So who knows? Maybe that does stay the Astros' hands. But hey, I don't think Biggio is going unclaimed. I happily be wrong on that, but I think he's going to play for another team. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go back to the phones, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. If you're on hold, you can hold on for me a little bit longer. We'll go back to the phones, back to the text line, 590-590 as well. Blue Jays get walked off by the A's on the same night. Kevin Biggio is DFA 2-1. The Blue Jays lose. They are 30-33 on the season. More Blue Jays talk after this. Show Ali with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, he likes pitching here a little bit. Saw him grab some dirt on the mound and put in his pocket after the eighth, but I thought he was outstanding, really outstanding with his mix, with his location. Pitch count was really, really efficient, which is, you know, we need that. We need that length on a day like today, albeit with the wrong outcome. But I thought, really, he pitched a hell of a game.
That is John Schneider talking to the media after a 2-1 walk-off loss off the bat of J.J. Bleda, who ambushes Chad Green on the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth inning. Chris Bassitt was phenomenal. There's no question about it. He looked, I was going to say distraught, but then again, Bassitt like looks distraught in the first inning as he does in the eighth inning, right? Just because I think that's just his demeanor, but he was absolutely phenomenal. But unfortunately, the Blue Jays do not make use of eight innings out of Chris Bassitt. Blue Jays lose 2-1. Welcome back to Jays Talk. We're here for another 10 minutes or so here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali with you flying solo this evening. Let's go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. So we're certainly not only talking about tonight's game, but certainly as well the news that Kevin Biggio was DFA'd, Spencer Horwitz was called up in his place, obviously, Alek Manoah is scheduled for UCL surgery. That's really tough. By the way, on Alek Manoah, I think we all kind of suspected as soon as he went to go see the arm specialist, but I feel bad for him. I got to say, I really do. I love talking about Alek Manoah. I've met him a couple times. Very nice guy. And he's just like he was always a story. I know you guys might feel a little bit differently, but for me, he was always a story I kind of rooted for, a player I rooted for, and a story I was interested in covering and talking about. But I feel bad for the guy. I mean, last year was a miserable year for him by his own admission. And we all know that. We all watched basically every pitch he threw. And this year, he looked like he was finding his way back. And then a UCL injury. John Schneider did say that he's not sure yet whether or not it would be the internal brace, which generally is a slightly shorter recovery time, or if it's a full Tommy John, then he might not pitch at all next year as well. So it's quite a long road back to recovery for Alek Manoah. So I wish him all the best because that's really tough. 590-590, name and location. Let's read some of these texts on the People's Text Line. Let's see. Brendan from Regina. Can someone please tell me why Biggio is the odd man out? Can you tell me how he holds zero trade value in comparison to being DFA'd? Okay, so I think on this, at least, there's still a chance he gets traded, right? Because we see that quite often. Like, you can get DFA'd, and I guess before you get outrighted, you can get traded still. So I think that's probably still a possibility. But either way, I would be surprised if he didn't get claimed. Honestly, like, if we wake up at some point here, next 48 hours, and Biggio goes unclaimed, and I think at that point, the Blue Jays could, in theory, still keep him in the system and send him to Buffalo, but he would have to agree, right? He would have to agree to go to the minors, and I think if you go unclaimed, you can elect to just be a free agent completely and then just sign with another team, which I think often happens, but I don't know. I think I have a feeling we haven't heard the last of Biggio with another team. I see Jen in Toronto. Always appreciate your text, Jen. Jen says, hey, show. 200 batting average for Biggio over 4 years. Slow bat against relievers. It is a business. Let us see what Horowitz does, but we have empty bats everywhere and no legit leadoff men. Wow. So she says, sorry, Davis, as well. So there you go. She also says, no to trading. We could have gone for Tyler O'Neill and Hicks. I presume she means in the offseason, because it's true. Hicks was a target the Red Sox went and got. I definitely would have hoped for that, too. I admit, am I biased because he's Canadian? Absolutely. That's for sure why I kind of wanted to see Tyler O'Neill. And hindsight has now told us that Tyler O'Neill has been banging home runs. I actually think he got injured today, but he has still been very, very good. And Hicks, of course, was a free agent signing by the Giants and obviously played for the Jays last year. Eric in St. John says, we need to stop talking about trades. Ross Atkins cannot be allowed to make a single move more. The new GM can assess and make corrective trades. Under no circumstances do I want Atkins making trades. Look at his trade record forget the last 2 years. He needs to go ASAP. I think a lot of people agree with you, Eric. Ethan in the foothills, which I assume is in Alberta. I haven't been, but I assume when it says Ethan in the foothills, judging by the area code, I'm guessing this is in Alberta. He says, Biggio would be an adequate everyday player on the A's, Rockies, even many quote-unquote good teams. It's a shame he was a victim of this team and their inflexible process. So exciting to watch his 400-plus OPS replacement sit on the bench. What's the difference if you never play the 26th man? I kind of agree, honestly. Like, if you're getting not a lot of playing time and you're making a lot of money and you're not contributing offensively and you can be replaced by guys defensively, then, like, what's the difference? I guess that the difference really only is just you want to treat the guy with some more respect, as some of you have texted, because he's been on the team for a long time and been in the organization for even longer, if you consider the minor league years, right, and when he was drafted and so on. That's really the only difference, no? Because otherwise, you're just talking about a lot of guys who are relatively similar. I'm not saying I don't feel bad for Biggio, but it's just, if he's not a difference maker, kind of like Jen says, it's a business, right? At some point, your time runs out. I kind of felt the same way about Espinal. I think his utility had somewhat run out. There was a text here from Ray Ray in Bolton. All I hope is when Biggio comes back with another team, he gets to stand in the ovation he deserves. I think he will. I'll say that. I think whenever he does play against the Blue Jays for whatever team he plays for going forward, no chance when he plays in Toronto, certainly, not on the road, but when he plays at the Rogers Center, there is no chance they don't give him an ovation, right? Like, he was in the team forever. Like, he absolutely will, and I personally think should, get an ovation for all the things he had done. I mean, gosh, I'm still the last guy to hit for the cycle, right? And back in 2019, I worked on that game, albeit as a producer. No other capacity, but still, I remember that. That was pretty cool. 590-590, name and location. Let's see here in the text line. Mark from Leamington has two texts. This team is inconsistent, beat Baltimore twice, and looks disinterested, losing tonight. Again, no offense kills them. Mark also says, Biggio was terrible and has never lived up to expectations. Vogelbach should be next. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say he was terrible. That seems pretty strong, personally. I don't think he was terrible, but I do agree he has never lived up to expectations. And, I mean, we're being honest. Can you make the argument that a lot of the prospects, including Bo and Vladdy, have not entirely lived up to their expectations. And maybe the expectations for Bo and Vladdy were a little bit higher than they were for Biggio. But I think that's a common thread we've discussed with this team, which is really unfortunate, right? But I'm not going to go so far as to say he was terrible. Vogelbach probably will be next, honestly. Like, maybe this is not the end of the various roster moves they're going to make. Maybe in the end, they go out and trade for someone else. Maybe Horwitz ends up playing more second base and they go out and get another first baseman, right? Maybe Aroldis Martinez does come up and play for the Blue Jays. I'm not sure they're done making moves. And I mean, we talk about this a lot, but if Ross Atkins is in fact managing for his job, then he is going to make another move, right? He is. Dave from North Vancouver. Dave, appreciate you. I was going to say staying up late, but if it's in Vancouver, it's like not that late, I suppose. But Dave does text in, I like Biggio. I also appreciate the effect this move can have on a clubhouse. However, does this maybe also send a message to others whose value is questionable, such as Vogelbach and Kiermaier, to either start producing or else there are younger, hungry players ready to take your jobs, and that's not necessarily a bad thing? I think it could have that effect. I would be willing to bet it's not necessarily the reason why they made the roster move. I know Davey didn't say that, but I would be willing to bet that is a not unwelcome side effect of them releasing Biggio, I will say. Right? Because I know a lot of the moves off the offseason were highly questioned, but Vogelbach does have to hit a little bit more. I know he's been a little bit better as of late, a little bit, but not so much that he should be like the make or break point for the Blue Jays, right? I think that's where we are, because the team needs more offense. And I think that's what I said before. I mean, I think we are closer to seeing them issue the run prevention idea, right, for more offense. We're not that far away. I think the problem is that right now we're stuck, right? Right now we're kind of stuck because no teams are going to go out there and make meaningful trades when it comes to like the Luis Roberts of the world, the Bo Bichettes, the Vladimir Guerrero Juniors of the world in June, right? That's what's going to happen. They're going to wait. And if that's the case, we're going to be doing this over and over again. Every time they win, it's going to be, could this be the win that turns the team around? And every time they lose, it's going to be fire X, Y, and Z and trade A, B, and C, right? And I'm not disagreeing necessarily, but it's just, you're kind of like stuck in the middle ground right now. I see another text here from Tony in Kitchener, actually a couple texts from Tony. Tony says, I know he just DFA'd Biggio, but the Rays also DFA'd Harold Ramirez. He's better at hitting than Biggio, so maybe go get him. It's certainly possible. I would be surprised. He has a pretty good batting average, but he just, you know, the Rays DFA'd Harold Ramirez for Taylor Walls. But again, I suppose you could DFA Vogelbach and then bring in Harold Ramirez. That's certainly not, and it probably would look better, honestly. But I'd be surprised if they did that. Tony also says, I know Biggio is going to go, but he was one of the reasons we won the game on Wednesday. You know what? You're not wrong. That's definitely true. But if you remember, Biggio almost got picked off in that game. I think we would be having a very different conversation. I mean, I know ifs and buts were candy nuts, right? Like if that was the case, then we would be having a different conversation. But the truth is Biggio kind of got a little lucky in that play, you know, like the Mountcastle just made a bad play and he got to second. The other half of that too is you could also have any number of guys who can run fast and slide well, do what Biggio did, I would say. So I don't know. I'm not sure like that's what we're going to hang our hat on for Kevin Biggio, but I do appreciate the text. Dan from Beamsville. I think it was a good move to DFA Biggio. I didn't think there was a spot for him on this roster, even in spring training. I did think genuinely there was a chance he could pick up where he left off last year. And he started the year hot. He did. But he really fell off. The power seemed to go, right? The contact even did not seem to be that great. He seemed to be taking more, which I'm fine with if you can certainly also protect yourself a little bit with swings. And he just didn't seem to do that. I don't know if it was a philosophy change for him or if it really just was a loss of power as he got a teensy bit older. He's not old, obviously, by any stretch of the imagination, but that's just, I think that was a part of it. By the way, 2-1, the Blue Jays lose as we wrap up here. The first inning drought now at 29 games in terms of not scoring in the first inning. 29 games, sole possession of the second longest of all-time drought. 2 games off the all-time record, which was set by the Boston Bees from August 17th to September 17th in 1937. I kind of hope they do it. Honestly, I kind of hope they break the record. I hope they get to 32. That has been broken since 1937. It's kind of like a morbid fascination at this point. I actually don't think it matters at all. I'll be completely honest. That's kind of why I hope they break it, because I don't think it matters. That does it for us here on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Etobicoke and Streetsville. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown or Crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho. I am out of here. Tomorrow's game is at a more reasonable hour. Kevin Gausman will be the one to hit the hill for the Jays tomorrow afternoon. I am back with Jesse Rubinoff tomorrow evening. You can join us for more Jays talk then. We'll do more Kevin Biggio discussions, more Spencer Horwitz discussions, more Alek Manoah discussions. All of it tomorrow. Sweet dreams, everyone. Talk to you later.